miss you when I
Welcome back, everyone. For today, Brad Dukes returns from my Genre No episode. We're going to discuss John Justice Wheeler and what Billy Zane brought to the role. But before we dive into that, I'll hand over the mic so Brad can reintroduce himself further.
Hey, everybody. I'm Brad Dukes, Twin Peaks super fan, author of Reflections and Oral History of Twin Peaks, former host of The Brad Dukes Show, which had a lot of really cool Twin Peaks content. I'm afraid it's not up in the cloud anymore, but I've been around the block with Twin Peaks fandom.
And I think the first thing to talk about with John Justice Wheeler is not even his first scene, but rather why he's on the show to begin with, because there's a lot of stuff that happened. And we're going to be talking about more so about when Kyle MacLachlan put his foot down on saying no to the Dale Cooper and Audrey Horne romance, is that this is pretty much the only reason why John Justice Wheeler is here to begin with. Was there any problems you ever had with that? Like, you know, even whether you knew it at the time or didn't know at the time, or did you just happen to like John Justice Wheeler all around?
That's a loaded question. First off, Billy Zane is stepping into a stretch of episodes that really tell you what works about Twin Peaks and what doesn't. And any actor was going to have a hard time succeeding. I think Billy Zane had a really positive experience, and I think he was glad to be a part of Twin Peaks. But John Justice Wheeler on the page just was fighting an uphill battle from the beginning scene. Before he was even written on a page, he was going to have trouble. And from beginning to end, it's dicey, especially that end, which we will get to. So I kind of look at John Justice Wheeler as a case study as of absolutely what not to do with Twin Peaks.
I'm glad that you mentioned that, because for me, I do actually like the character and I do like Billy Zane's performance. But having said that, there's a lot you have to get around, because I guess the short of it is that while I do like his scenes with Ben Horne, this Audrey romance, it's, you know, nothing was going to actually outdo the explosive chemistry that Kyle MacLachlan and Sherilyn Fenn had. And so I know the expectations would always be unrealistic, but even from the first scene, there's just something that's just not right, because I guess it's okay enough. John Justice Wheeler, he shows up to the Great Northern. Audrey kind of blows him off until she realizes he's a pretty good looking guy. And this is the only thing that John Justice Wheeler says that seems weird, and it's never addressed ever again. But it's weird that they want to have like a romance with these two. And the first thing, one of the first things he says is that he has a photo of her from when she was 10. I forget if it's in his wallet or not. And he's like, yeah, you're really cute or you're really funny. And I feel like that's just such an utterly bizarre way to start a romance. It's like, I know you said like a list of what not to do, but while I do view John Justice Wheeler as a pretty altruistic character, this is like a really bad starting point with that line in particular.
Yeah, and I don't want to bury the lead. Just sometimes I just assume people are know what I'm talking about with Twin Peaks, but just so the listeners know, there was a planned romance between Cooper and Audrey. And sometime before this, Kyle MacLachlan put his foot down and was like, I'm not going to do this. And so they basically, Audrey had nothing to do on the page. The writers were like, oh, okay, so what are we doing now? So Heather Graham kind of comes in and takes the spot of Cooper's love interest, which is going to take us to the finale of season two. And John Justice Wheeler comes in completely shoehorned into a story to be Audrey's romantic interest. And I think another thing you got to take into account is the show is really rebooting itself when John Justice Wheeler shows up. You know, we get out of that, those really fuzzy, weird episodes with Evelyn and the Civil War stuff with Ben Horne. And it's just kind of like, you can tell the writers are trying to get out of this fog and try to really get a hold of a story that will save the show. I mean, it almost got canceled at this point, mid-season. So the show is really trying to realign itself to get through to the end of the season here when Billy Zane shows up. So I think a lot of people, even my friends who watched Twin Peaks to begin with, right around here, like they stuck it out because you can binge it and it's not week to week. But it was like, man, what in the world's going on here? So that's why I kind of say it's like Billy Zane and his character really had an uphill battle from the very beginning.
I'm glad that you mentioned Heather Graham as Annie Blackburn, because at least with her, there's that fantastical element that she's like a critical part of like leading those final episodes of season two. But John Justice Wheeler, he's kind of just like what you see is what you get for better and for worse. I'll be honest, I'm probably going to be really critical of the romance with him and Audrey. But I will say is that he is very good with the scenes with Ben Horn and Billy Zane, actually, I think adds to it as well, because I don't know what it is, because you and me, we've met Billy Zane, or at least been able to talk with him on different occasions. There are just some that he has that like soft spoken. He's very eloquent. I think he carries that in the role pretty well. So even though he's got, quite frankly, pretty substandard material, I think he was able to, maybe not as much of the Audrey Horne romance, but at least when he was with Ben in his office, that there were some great moments that we had there.
Yeah. I mean, Billy Zane is an elegant man. You see him on Instagram. I've run into him in real life and talked to him for a little bit. And, I mean, he's a smooth dude, just like that character of John Justice Wheeler. And I almost kind of feel like after meeting him in a natural scenario, it's kind of like, wow, that really is kind of that character. He's smooth and he's charming. I mean, John Justice Wheeler is strange because he's not a villain, he's just this outsider. And bringing an outsider into Twin Peaks is very tough. And especially when that outsider is, that character is at complete odds with all the Twin Peaks characters, because even like a straight character in Twin Peaks, for that to work, you've got to bring a lot of warmth. I was thinking about this last night. So you think about like the regular characters in Twin Peaks, like the normal people. You've got like Doc Hayward, as normal as it kind of gets. Doc Hayward, Frank Truman. Perhaps, I don't know, but these characters bring an immense warmth. They have this grounding force amongst all these crazy people. But see, for me, John Justice Wheeler doesn't really bring that grounding warmth. He's just kind of this rich dude that just walks in, romances Audrey, he's dashing. And aside from like Dale Cooper, I can't really think of many dashing men in Twin Peaks. Everybody's kind of rough around the edges, or they've got this weird edge to them. So yeah, that's kind of why I was thinking. I was like, why doesn't this character work? And then I was thinking about the normal people and how the normal people bring this warmth, this grounding energy to this weird small town. And I think if you try to introduce a character from the outside that's young and slick, it just doesn't work. So I think that's another reason this character really had a lot of trouble just from square one. I hope that makes some sense.
No, I think I know what you're trying to say, but I would say though is that I think that Billy Zane, because he's so eloquent, that there's scenes like, for example, because Ben Horn brings him in because he wants to learn how to be truly good. And the thing is, it's kind of funny is that a lot of the stuff that Ben Horn ends up screwing up like later on, it kind of comes back to the scene with him and John Justice Wheeler, where he's like, what do you do? Like, how do you be good? And one of the things that Billy Zane, and I can't stress this enough, says very eloquently is that start with the hardest truths first. And it's just like the way that he says that scene and Ben Horn, it's like a revelation to him. And of course, the first thing that John Justice Wheeler says to him is like, I'm in love with your daughter. And of course, Ben Horn just thinks like, oh, haha, whatever. But like, no, really. And then that's the part where, I mean, of course, Richard Beamer's an incredible actor, but just like the face he gets of like this kind of just this acknowledgement. I think that's the scene where he pulls out the carrot. And like a good sport, John Justice Wheeler just goes into it and just bites in the carrot. Once again, he's a very surface level character, only in there for a romance that ultimately failed. But somehow, Billy Zane has this eloquence that makes scenes like that just like really work for me.
Yeah. And it's just such an odd feeling when John Justice Wheeler shows up, because Ben Horn is like this born again nice guy. Bobby Briggs is now Bob Briggs, for God's sake. Audrey's wearing shoulder pads under her blazer. It is so bizarre. It doesn't feel like anything. If you love Twin Peaks, it's nothing like probably what you love Twin Peaks for. Everyone has lost their edge completely. Even Jerry Horn is in one of those first few scenes with him, and it just even that character is off. It's like you're zapping the kookiness out of Twin Peaks, and God help them all. It just was almost unsalvageable.
I will say though is that I do generally like the look of Audrey Horne. I mean, I know the character isn't quite, she doesn't have that allure that she had in the first season, but I at least think Sherilyn Fenton, like, I think she pulls off that look well enough. Bobby Briggs, they absolutely didn't know what to do with him. Like, I think once they got him the Great Northern, they just kind of like he was just meandering around. I mean, I'll save that for a Bobby Briggs episode, but I guess to come back to some of the negative stuff is that it's kind of secondary, but there's that dinner meeting at the Great Northern where it's John Justice Wheeler, Ben Horn, and Audrey's there as well. And all the mean stuff, it's kind of secondary, but it's when Ben Horn leaves and they're trying to make this romance work of like they're trying to talk, but they keep on saying the same thing at the same time. I think even the realm of like a Hallmark Christmas movie, it just feels like it's just not good. And it's nothing to blame like either of the actors. It's just like a really inorganic romance to me. And it's just so weird because he was put in specifically to give her a romance. Unfortunately, it has to be a little bit on the negative end is that after that, at that dinner, he talks about he wants to take her on a picnic. And the next thing we see with them, he's singing to her. I wish I was a fly on the wall of like seeing behind the scenes because I think Billy Zane and Charlton Fent, they just knew this was not working. Because again, it's like the romance is very stilted.
Where the coyotes howl and the wind blows free in a narrow grave, 6 by 3. Don't bury me now on the lone prairie.
But to advance the scene, that's when John Justice Wheeler, he says that, he'll take her to dinner. And this is when it's or no, he'll fly. Sorry, he'll fly with her. That's when Ben Horn is on his whole environmental thing with Stop Ghostwood, and she has to fly to Seattle. And this crushes John. Like he is just like completely down and out. And again, this is another scene where he's very good in, but there's a caveat because there's going to be blatant continuity errors from this point because after that, John is just crushed. He's sitting at the fireplace. Dale Cooper's there, and they're both talking about love. Where John Justice Wheeler is saying that how love is hell. Dale, on the other hand, he is, despite Wyndham Earp, that he is like ecstatic about Annie. I actually thought they had a great energy, and maybe it would have been diminishing returns, but I actually would have liked to see more scenes with Billy Zane and Kyle MacLachlan together. But as good as that scene was, we get to this blatant plot hole because John, he says that he says to the concierge like he's checking out. Then you wait till the next episode, and it's clearly a day later, and he goes to Ben Horn. And he says he's like, my partner in Brazil has been murdered. I'm like, what is this? Like, it was fine if they just wanted to write him out, but like, or but they should have either not had that scene, or at the very least have I don't know. Like, clearly there was no one really keeping check of continuity. It kind of feels like there's all these times where he could have and should have left, but he didn't. But before I ramble on too much further, what are your thoughts on it?
I really enjoy that scene with Cooper and Wheeler. That's a good scene. The chemistry is there. And you mentioned that picnic, and the chemistry is not there. And I remember, when I interviewed both Sherilyn and Billy, they seemed pretty positive about working with each other. But there's an anonymous quote in my book. The only anonymous quote talks about how they were butting heads. And it was just, they just didn't want to cooperate. I think Sherilyn just didn't want to really cooperate with what was written on the page, and it wasn't working. And when you go back and see that scene, I think there's a scene like she's sitting on the bed and they're sort of flirty, but you can just tell the energy is way off. And I don't want to speak for Sherilyn, but I'm sure she must have been a little frustrated at that point with her character. I mean, Audrey was kind of the A2 character of season one, and I'm trying to think of who else would be above her, maybe Truman, but I mean, she was the MVP right behind Cooper for season one, and even up through the first part of season two. But her character really fell off a cliff. I'm guessing she was frustrated, and that may have played into it. But yeah, it's just the picnic, the energy is off. And that's why I kind of say it's like I can't really blame it on the actors. It really comes down to what's on the page and just how the arc was just not really there.
I did admittedly skip a couple scenes because the two things I want to mention, one of which I learned from your book, is that we have the Pine Weasel scene, which to me, I stand by that. I think it's the last actively terrible scene of season two, where it kind of has this Benny Hill quality to it. But what I thought was really interesting is that scene when Billy Zane, when he rescues Audrey from falling off the stage, that in your book, he talked about how literally right before they went shooting, that's when the Gulf War was announced, and just like the vibe just instantly changed. But then they had to just dive into this character of this like quirky moment. I guess if you want to, was there anything you want to talk about, like whether it's this scene or when you first heard about that?
Now, are you calling the Pine Weasel riot a bad scene?
I'll be honest. Yeah, I just look at it. I will say though, is that generally in season two, a lot of the stuff gets better as it goes on, or upon subsequent rewatches, but I just look at it as like, I don't know, this might be a little too silly for me.
I can't hate it. It's so ridiculous. To me, it is quintessential Twin Peaks. I mean, it's so just like, you think about the concept of it. There is like this riot because a pine weasel got loose in some fancy hotel and it's biting Dick Tremaine on the face. And we've got the camera kind of from the point of view of the pine weasel running under the tables. I mean, it is the most bonkers thing in the world. And I'm just going to throw this out here. That is the exact kind of humor that was in On the Air, which Lynch and Frost did around this time. So I know people hate on it, but I feel like it is true to the spirit of Twin Peaks. Burn me at the stake. The Pine Weasel Riot is amazing.
No, that's the weird part is that I feel like a lot of people seem to dislike the pine weasel scene, but I'm not sure if all the people who just liked it became more vocal in recent years, but it just seems like there's a more positive discourse when people bring it up now. I don't know, because I know you said the POV shot of the pine weasel was like part of the quintessential Twin Peaks. I think for me, I was like, I just kind of tilted my head. I was like, I don't know. But for me, it's like once that scene ends, I was like, okay, it's like it feels like Twin Peaks is back on track. But as we're kind of veering into stuff that's like more in the realm of positive, I would be absolutely remiss if we didn't talk about Billy Zane's iconic sweater for when Audrey brings him food to his room. This sweater is something that is like just absolutely beloved. I think it's like kind of the reason why people like this character in some strange way, because there's like a good story. Because I know there's been a back and forth of his grandfather's sweater or if his father's sweater. But I think there's just something that's very heartwarming that a lot of these actors were able to bring their own wardrobe on set. And there's just something about like that just meant so much to him to have it in that scene.
Yeah, because I don't think there were a lot of people bringing their own wardrobe. I think some people did. I know David Patrick Kelly brought a lot of things. And I remember when I ran into Billy, we joked about that sweater. He was just amazed that people had made a kind of a meme culture about it. It's kind of like a subculture meme of Twin Peaks. So I know he got a kick out of that. And yeah, I think it was in his family, which is cool.
Actually, I've never done this on the podcast before. You got to give me 1 second because this is you'll know exactly why I'm doing this.
Oh my gosh.
So last year when I went and I dressed in this. All right, Brett, I'm sorry. I hate to put you on the spot, but you have to describe people what I'm showing to you right now.
Okay, so he just went back to the closet, if you're just listening to this, and pulled out. It looks like a completely faithful reproduction of John Justice Wheeler's sweater with the black and red and white stripes. And I am a little upset that you didn't just wear that for this podcast.
I couldn't find the glasses. Like I tried, but I was like the glasses are what makes it work. And but that's the thing is that there's something about this sweater that has like a legacy of its own. People just absolutely love this thing. And honestly, I think it's a great look on its own. So, but yeah, I don't know. I just knew that I had to talk about it.
I love it. I think it's great. I wish I had one.
But to come back to it, admittedly, we're starting to come to a close in terms of John's screen time. But we have that scene where, of course, John thinks that he's being stood up by Audrey because they can't be with each other. As he's on his own jet flying out on his own, Audrey, with the help of Pete Martell, shows up, basically stops in front of the jet, and God, I really wish that Billy Zane had a better ending because this is like. I don't know. This was people just kind of phoning in at this point. When yeah, of course I know I'm feeling I can see it on your face. There's secondhand embarrassment when I have to mention that Audrey when she goes up and she proclaims I'm a virgin, and of course and of course Pete Martell he's moved by it. And I guess to so we don't have to end it on a completely negative note. This is around the time when. As he's kind of like, being moved, he has that like right hand that's shaking, not unlike Dale Cooper or the old woman from the Double R Diner. It's completely removed from John Justice Wheeler, but did you have any thoughts about if that had anything to do with the scene with John and Audrey, or just kind of thoughts about the scene independently?
If the shaking hand has anything to do with John and Audrey?
Yeah, and for me, I think it's just a straight up no, but I just figured that I didn't want to end like my thoughts on John's screen time on such a negative note, so I figured I at least put this out there.
You know, I'm not sure. They were doing some interesting things in that little stretch of episodes with like the hand thing, and then like that scene in the Great Northern when Ben turns around and sees something. And then like in that next scene, Jack Nance or Pete Martell, he acts like he sees Josie in the Great Northern, I believe. I think those two scenes run into each other. And I tried really hard to dig into that. I interviewed Stephen Gyllenhaal, who directed that episode, I believe. And I think he did have something to do with the hand. He kind of was working that in because I think Killer Bob at the very end of that episode, his hand is reaching out. I think I'm on the right episode there.
Yeah, no, that is how it ends. Yeah.
So I feel like something was there. I think whatever creator or writer was kind of driving that must not have been able to see it through. But yeah, I feel like they were dropping some interesting hints and planting a few interesting seeds there, but they never came to fruition. And that's a real fun Twin Peaks episode with just some weird stuff happening, aside from this plane situation, which we're gonna dig a little further into. I mean, how terrible is it that poor Pete Martell has to sit in a pickup truck from daylight until night? There's just so much wrong. There's so much wrong. After she's like, I'm a virgin. Like, it's just so cringe. Like, it's like John Justice Wheeler, he like kind of backs against the plane and does like this long exhale, and he's like, okay, get on in. And there's just nothing that feels right about it. And then at the end, when he's driving his plane off, it's like this the worst grin in the world, like, hey, see ya. Like, I don't know, man. It's Audrey deserved better. Audrey deserved to be in the Black Lodge with Wyndham Earle. I'm sorry. That would have been a much better ending.
Finally meet the man of my dreams. Next thing I know, he's on a plane to Brazil.
He'll be back one day. He promised.
Yeah. Well, he also promised to take me fishing, and we never did. Love stinks.
Fishing?
Yeah. Pearl Lake or something.
I have some tackle in the truck. Audrey, there are many cures for a broken heart, but nothing quite like a trout's leap in the moonlight.
I mean, obviously he's off screen at this point, but there's a few more notes I have left because I think it was Pam from Between Two Worlds, Pam Terajack in particular. I think it was her that had the theory that in The Return, they talk about how with Mr. C, how one of the few images they have of him is when he's in Brazil. And there's been speculation from her and a few other fans if Mr. C would have it out for Audrey because to just like destroy her from inside and out, and that she would kill John Justice Wheeler. In my opinion, I think it's a pretty good theory. I understand the logic. I think if anyone really cared enough to have that implication, it would have been Mark Frost between him and David Lynch. I get the logic, but I don't take as much stock in it. But what are your thoughts on that?
David Lynch said something really interesting. I don't know where he said it or when he said it, but he said something like he didn't read the Mark Frost books because it was something like, that's not my Twin Peaks or something. And I think the beautiful thing is we can all make our own version of what is Twin Peaks. It is kind of a buffet. You can pick, for me, the real train car murder scene is episode 8 in season 2. That is so much more terrifying than what's in Fire Walk with Me. Sorry. I like the Twin Peaks season house for the Palmers, not the Fire Walk with Me house. I love the interior, but I prefer, to me, the Palmer house is that other house that's in the series. So what I'm getting to here is I don't think those are connected because I don't think Lynch and Frost would have even paid any mind to the John Justice Wheeler when they were doing the return. Obviously, they picked and chose what they wanted to connect blatantly, and there's really not that many hardcore, super defined connections to the original series. So I don't think they paid any mind to John Justice Wheeler when they were writing The Return. Could be wrong, but the way I define Twin Peaks and the way I experience it, I don't think there was any connection.
And actually, this does come back to my last thing, and actually it has to do with what I asked Billy Zane when I met him last year. So when I met him, one of the last things I asked him was that, I prefaced by saying that I know that he's done a lot of stuff since Twin Peaks. You know, I wasn't sure how much he thought about it since then. But I did ask him if he ever thought about what John Justice Wheeler would be doing in the events of The Return. And well, he did like the question. While he didn't have an answer for that, the thing I thought was interesting is that he did say that when Richard Horne first showed up, he actually thought that was John Justice Wheeler's son, not Mr. C, which is crazy because for me, I actually thought that Richard Horne was John's son when I first saw him. And of course, you know, by the time we get to part 16, it's obvious before that point, but it's 100% confirmed that's Mr. C's son. Again, I don't know if that's really widely available knowledge, but I just thought that was really good insight from Billy Zane, and actually kind of crazy that we both agreed up until a certain point in The Return.
So Billy said he watched The Return.
Yeah, it sounds like, I mean, when he mentioned Richard Horne, I kind of figured that he must have watched like a good part of
it. That's interesting. I think that's cool because you just never know. I don't want to out anyone at all, but after The Return had come on, it was like a few weeks after the show had been on, I was around a cast member and someone asked them a question about The Return and they just looked at them like they had no idea what they were talking about. It was like they talked about some scene and you could tell they were trying to play ball and be nice, but they were like, they hadn't seen it. So I'm always curious of like which actors will watch and pay attention and they really know the ins and outs of what's happening, especially with The Return, because there's a lot of, I guess, tributaries, we'll call them. So yeah, that's cool. I'm glad he watched it.
And admittedly, that's the last I have the notes for John Justice Wheeler. And I think I've said everything on my end about him, but was there anything you want to say about whether it's John or Billy Zane as an actor?
No, I mean, Billy Zane, I mean, you look at what all he's done. I mean, Back to the Future, Titanic, Twin Peaks, The Phantom. There's so much cool stuff. And he's also a fine artist. His paintings are really cool. I don't know. He's just a fascinating dude. And even though Twin Peaks is an interesting chapter, there's so much other cool stuff he's been in. But whether we like John Justice Wheeler or not, it is Twin Peaks. And I think one other thing I want to sort of touch on is, you know, sometimes I'll be online and someone will be like, how should I watch Twin Peaks? And someone will be like, watch it up to episode 18 and then just skip to the finale or something. And it's like, no, it's like, you can't do that. It's like, you're not experiencing Twin Peaks. Like, if you really want to experience it, you've got to experience all of it from beginning to end. Because, I mean, John Justice Wheeler aside, there are interesting things in every single episode, even the worst episodes that people really will slam dunk on, myself included. There's still stuff there that I feel is really key and really clutch to the whole arc. Going from the pilot to episode 29, all in between, there's really cool stuff. And I'm assuming if you're listening to this podcast about John Justice Wheeler, you're probably familiar with this kind of rough chapter of the show, but I'm just throwing that out there. There's just so much interesting stuff. Even John Justice Wheeler, drink it in, drink it deep. That's Twin Peaks.
I guess I'll wind down by saying with Billy Zane that first and foremost, you brought up more than I did earlier, but he is like such a very kind, very well-spoken person. Like when he talks to you, it's like it feels like it's a very personal, because, you know, there's a lot of actors where they really like their fans. And honestly, that's totally cool with me. But when you talk to Billy Zane, he seems like he really wants to know about you and really cares about like what you're interested in. So I think that's like the fact that he could carry over that sort of demeanor into John. That was, I think that actually helped, because I even told him is that I think that because it was like season two was in so many rough patches at that point, that he was almost like a course correction, and just what he brought to Ben Horn scene and the Dale Cooper scene, that like those like were like parts that like felt like it was easing into like, I guess, into the better part of season two.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in my very limited interactions with him, he just seems like a grateful guy. I don't think he takes anything for granted, and he's in the moment, very thoughtful, very concerned. So it was very cool. I'll tell a little story. I was in Atlanta about a year and a half ago. I was in this hotel gym and I like look across and there's nobody else in there but this guy. And I was like, I think that's Billy Zane. And like, I think he could tell I was sort of looking at him, like trying to tell if that was him. And then like at one point he like put his hood up and like started a set on the bench press machine or something. And finally, I looked at him and I was like, are you Billy Zane? And he goes, every day. And so I was like, oh, I interviewed you for my Twin Peaks book, and he warmed up considerably once I said that. But it was just funny. It was really cool to run into him, and you just never know. Another little story. You just have to keep your eyes open. One time I was in, it was right after my Twin Peaks book had come out, and I was in Chicago, and I was hanging out with Wendy Roby, and we went to go get coffee at Starbucks. And I swear to God, there were like three girls in front of us, and they were talking about Twin Peaks. And like, they turn around, and like, as they're talking about Twin Peaks, I was like watching their eyes, and she realizes Nadine is literally right there, 2 feet from her. And she was like, oh my God. And it was like, it was so funny to just kind of watch that moment of realization. So Twin Peaks characters walk among us. You got to keep your eyes open.
No, that's a great story. And I think that pretty much winds down on the episode. Before we close out, did you have any social media to plug or anything, to find you on?
Not really. I'm kind of taking a break from Instagram right now, and I'm morally conflicted about using Twitter. I'm on there, but yeah, not really.
That's fair enough. I'll at least put a link in the show notes for Reflections on Amazon. I just want to say thanks for coming on. I was really glad to be able to talk about John Justice Wheeler, because I have a bit of a love-hate relationship, not with the character, certainly not with the actor, but just the material he was given. I just knew that from your interactions that you were going to be a great choice for this.
Yeah. I mean, every time I watch, I haven't watched Twin Peaks in a while, but every time I watch it, you realize something else. And like I said, last night, it was like, even though a lot of things didn't work with this character, it does tell you what works. You know, it maybe kind of defines that magic a little bit more and why you're drawn to it. But yeah, it was good talking to you. Thanks for having me.
And to finish up today's episode, here's Brad Duke's song, My Sheriff's Jacket.
Bradley Studios, what's up?
Transmission at full blast, just to feel anything, cold marble on my back. The sun shined on me while you slept tight. I saw your dream in a cloud and it felt right. Just to walk on in and say hello. Didn't have any feet.
screamed and I woke up.